Welcome back to FinTech Family Hour, folks. This is Zach Anderson Pettit, content director at Money 2020 by day, your host by night. First things first, FinTech Family Hour is now on YouTube. Go check it out and subscribe. A portion of this episode is on YouTube because I was my own producer for this one, and well, things happened in the middle, but we had fun nonetheless. We are back with the real stuff, folks. It's Are You Human with the one and only co-hostess with the mostest, our friend Kristen Anderson. Our guest this week is a previous guest coming back for more, showing us the other side of him, Drew Glover at Fiat Growth and Fiat Ventures. He's joined the family on previous episodes, as I've said. We'll link to that in the show notes. But this time we get to dive in on a human level. There ain't no party like an Are You Human party, folks. This episode is brought to you by Skipify. Go to Skipify.com to learn more. And without further ado, here's Drew and Kristen. For those listening, none of this makes sense. For those watching, you're missing an entire world behind the camera.
All right, we've got our first helicopter overhead.
We got some of FinTech's best watching.
We do.
We got Nicole, we got Anton, we got Finn. It's a day. We'll see how this audio comes out. Kristen, do you want to kick us off since it's been a minute?
Yeah. Thank you to our sponsors.
Thanks to Skipify for having us here
today.
There we go.
I think they're a sponsor here as well.
They're the headline sponsor of everything happening today, including this podcast.
There we go. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. It has been a minute or two. And by that, I think it's been like 5 months since we did an Are You Human? Is that possible?
It's been a minute.
All right. Welcome to FinTech Family Hour. We are here live from Empire FinTech in New York City. We are recording on Chelsea Pier number 60. So we are joined today by man, myth, legend? Is that the order?
And there's something along those lines. There's not a ton of people in FinTech that have caught passes from Aaron Rodgers.
These are things that can do that
and wear the same glasses as Harry Potter. It's like a small
lightning bolt.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You got a lightning bolt. God, it's just not on your forehead.
I forgot this morning.
I talked to your wife.
It's... Oh my God.
Did that happen too fast?
It's so early.
We are human.
It's like 10:30 in the morning right now.
I died playing basketball 2 hours ago, and as a result, I'm awake now.
Okay. All right. We're getting right into it. Okay. So for those of you who have never listened to an episode of Are You Human, we are going to be doing it a very casual, I described it as a platonic date interview, right? Oh, okay. Mm. Where we're going to be getting to know some of FinTech's best at a personal level, trying to understand who they are, what makes them tick, how they see the world outside of the 9-to-5 grind or the 5-to-9 grind. Oh,
I don't know.
I designed my own grind.
He's an SF, so it's like a 10-to-4.
Yeah, right. You know?
Casual.
Right.
No, it's Drew, so he actually works hard. But
okay,
we will poke fun at SF.
Who is it? Let's give a quick intro of our guest today.
Yeah, I guess we kind of have
skipped that.
Talked a lot without talking about you. I don't think that we're going to do a great job of this intro. I think...
I'll take it.
You are going to be capped at 30 seconds on the business side, and then we're moving on.
Easy. Can I get a countdown?
Go.
Cool. My name is Drew Glover. I'm the co-founder of Fiat Growth. I'm also co-founder and GP at Fiat Ventures, early stage venture fund, pre-seed and seed companies. Fiat Growth inspired Fiat Ventures. Every company we've worked with out of the 200, we've driven over $1.5 billion in revenue that we've worked with.
Woo!
We've gotten the right to invest in every single company that we have done business with, which gave us the ability to found Fiat Ventures, which is our $25 million pre-seed and seed fund. However, the last thing I'll say is it's a very unique model within ventures in that we are able to work with companies prior to investment. I'm done.
Nailed it.
25 seconds.
Give us time for
a deep breath.
Yeah. Nailed it. Nailed it.
Excellent. All right. We've got another helicopter coming. Do we wait or do we?
We're good. This is fine.
This is why
I'm keeping the headphones on.
Okay. Cool. To make sure that we're not being drowned out by the helicopters.
And if we are, we are.
Okay.
This is the hardest post-production that Johnny's going to ever have to do.
I'm gonna do a short pitch for Google Meet. Right now.
What?
Okay. So did you know Google Meet
is taking a hard left turn?
Listen. They have the technology to filter out outside noise, which maybe Zoom does too, but like large companies such as the one I work at don't believe that. Anyway, we use Google Meet and you can filter out the most insane sounds. I was talking to a coworker over Google Meet during the earthquake when the alarm, what is it called? The like state of emergency on her phone was going off.
Sounds like an Amber Alert.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't come through at all.
What?
So all I'm saying is,
if anything,
all I'm saying is run the podcast through whatever it is Google Meet uses. Background noise gone.
So now that we've had that pitch.
Okay.
I'm a Google shop too.
All okay. Right. All right, Drew.
It's 10:28. Okay. I think we have about 45 to 50 minutes. Where do we want to start with frugality?
No, childhood. We got to start childhood. Yeah, we got to get to know you. So tell us where you're from, a little bit about how you grew up and the way you would sort of describe your childhood to a new friend.
Yeah. Okay. Grew up in Oakland, California.
Nice.
Grew up in East Oakland, California.
Nice.
And
as a Kansas Cityan, like, I know Oakland. And I know how Oakland has generally been gentrified, but yeah. Like, tell me about East Oakland versus West. Like, is there something I need to understand? You leaned into the East.
Yeah, well, I leaned to the East because it's something that I definitely want to represent. You know, growing up in Oakland, I think commercially to the rest of the world, everyone had their own like very unique perspective on it, and a lot of it was driven by news. I grew up in an Oakland where it was a wildly rich culture that gave me exposure in a really special way. Outside of it just being like the location that I kind of like grew up and lived in and thrived in, it's just it has its own unique culture. My mom, she used to walk to Fremont High School, which is now Fremont High School, which is Oakland Unified School District. She was a French teacher for 15 years, then became a principal there.
Whoa.
It was right down the street.
Did you speak French as a kid?
I did not.
Interesting.
I hit her up sometimes when I was younger. I'm like, I just met my wife, but I couldn't speak to her because I couldn't speak French. I was like, I was always really bitter about it because she's a beautiful French speaker. Like when she speaks to other people that grew up in France, they're like, oh, this is the king and queen's French you're speaking here. Yeah. And she always thought that it would give me a potential speech impediment as a kid because there are some like certain parts of French that as you're learning English as a kid that will significantly affect how you speak English.
I disagree.
Oh, I 100% agree. My mom and I have gotten into many arguments about this. Like me speaking French right now at 38, I would be a threat, an unbelievable threat to the world.
No, that's just going to keep happening. No, it's fucking cares. Hilarious.
But anyone watching the YouTube version of this, I think is
yeah. If you're just listening, I highly recommend going to YouTube at FinTech Family Hour and watching the random people walk by because it's entertaining.
And you get to see a boat. That's a cute little tugboat.
Oh
my God.
Can we get a toot toot?
Really
I don't think
cute.
We're going to get a toot.
I really think you should watch this one on YouTube is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Okay. So you did not learn to speak French. Do you have siblings? Not.
I have a younger brother.
Okay.
7 years apart.
Wow.
Which actually older, makes
so you
I'm
were the,
older.
The caregiver.
I'm the older, but it's really tough to build a really deep relationship with a sibling when there's that many years apart.
Different schools.
When I was in college, he was just starting high school.
Yeah.
Like, yes, like there was a moment where he was like, I look up to my older brother, but like for me to like stop my life of being in college, getting my career off the ground, and going back, it's kind of a tough grind.
Well, and when you're 20, you're just not thinking about other people all
you're
that
not.
Much
yeah,
as like
yeah,
a general
you're,
statement.
You're the peak of selfishness.
Right,
which, you know, I fully leaned into it that
but
time.
But now you're in your 30s. You're
we
both
are.
In your 30s.
We're in our 30s.
Is he still in the Bay as well?
He's in the Bay. Yeah. He's engaged. You know, like he started.
Congrats.
Entered, yeah, shout out Trent, engaged to his fiance Tanya.
He listens for sure. So
he will be. Well, he will be listening to this. But yeah, my parents are like very civic oriented. Mom,
cool.
Principal, dad ran a nonprofit to help families get access to affordable housing in
Amazing.
Oakland, specifically East Oakland. So like a lot of my roots just really sat on the east side of Oakland. And as we all know from the cities we're at, like if there's a neighborhood or any type of like micro location that you were a part of, like that's what you're repping.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Especially, I mean, at the time that you grew up in Oakland, like that makes sense, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like the barista that's growing up in Oakland right now, like that's a different situation.
Drew will know this, but my father grew up in Moraga, which is a very different place.
I almost went to St. Mary's.
Oh.
I know Moraga well.
Yeah. So Moraga is this like tiny
sounds like
little
a foreign country.
It is this tiny little rich area. Like
there's an accent over the edge.
It's, yeah. It sounds like somewhere you go on vacation.
It is technically the East Bay, but like it's where like those microcultures are just so different depending
That's
on where
true.
You are. And my dad was adopted into a wealthy family.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
See, I learned things about you on the
I
show
know,
too.
Every single one. But yeah, it's funny because there is this like Moraga people will like often say that they're from the East Bay and you're like I almost asked you and I was like when you say Oakland do you mean Walnut Creek
that's it like, and like when you guys ask like what's up like why East Oakland because like people will say I mean there's a part of Oakland if you look at the map it's crazy there's like one circle in the middle of Oakland and it's a little place called Piedmont And it is
that I think I've heard of.
Yes.
It is well to do.
Okay.
Like top 1%ers live in Piedmont. But technically it's in Oakland. Technically Piedmont has its own mayor. It has its own school district.
Is it like the Vatican?
We love a gerrymander red line.
It's like the Vatican. It's a little.
It has its own police.
But please believe, if you're at a party and there's people from Piedmont there and someone says, where are you from? They say they're from Oakland.
Yeah.
And I say, no, you're not.
Incorrect. Try again.
Not true.
All right. Where'd you go to school?
I went to school at Bishop O'Dowd. It's really interesting. I grew up being like, oh, mom, I want you to be a teacher. I want you to be a teacher of mine. She was like, listen, I just know too much about the public school system. Like, we're gonna put you in private school.
God, that's such a fascinating thing. I feel like that's very consistent, actually.
Yeah, it's tough. And I grew up with some like learning disabilities. I mean, nothing like crazy. Obviously, I was able to like work through them and turn them into my superpower. But like early on, like I was late to reading. I was a lot of like the little things that like can really like build your confidence as a really young kid. So my mom was just like really bullish on making sure that I was at a place where, you know, like the ratio from student to teacher was right. Making sure I could be in a place where I could go ask the right questions and get the right help and have like a really, really good kind of educational culture.
Yeah.
And so
did you feel behind? This is because I had 100%. A similar thing, and I 100%. Felt like such an idiot until I got like out, until I met Kristen. Honestly, Kristen was like, you're smart. I was like, oh fuck, that's the first time someone said that. late college or something, until I figured out that like I might have a brain.
It's really interesting you say that. From my perspective, it was never myself that made myself believe I was smart. It was other people that had to validate it.
Yeah.
And that was like the momentum that got me really, really going in the right direction.
Yeah. Do you remember who that was, or like the main validator?
I do believe you put yourself in the right environment. Like when I went to Bishop O'Dowd, they actually had a really rigorous kind of like school culture. And wasn't necessarily that I couldn't do the work, but they just gave you so much work that they gave you a work ethic that was unlike anything else. And through that, you just learn by just practicing really hard. But when I got to Cal, I went to UC Berkeley, and I played football at UC Berkeley. All my teammates that were, again, like they were a part of inner cities across the country. Sure. They were coming to me being like, Drew, will you tutor me? And I was like,
that's validating.
What is happening
is when you got the glasses.
That's when I got the glasses.
I started
wearing a tie to school.
Yes.
I put on my first vest at 22.
Exactly. I had Velcro sneakers, the whole thing.
Oh, damn.
Roller backpack. No, I messed with
you. You sure you were an athlete?
Legit, when that happened, I was like, I thought to myself, I was like, well, I guess if everyone's calling me a tutor, I'm a tutor. Therefore, I'm smart. Yeah. And, you know, like sometimes when people, if everyone says, you know, you're 6'5" and you're 5'6". Enough people say, you're like, I feel like I'm 6'5" now.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm going to own that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to run with it and the world's going to believe it.
There's a really interesting thing there about like, it's really important that we don't over index on what other people say about us. But I think sometimes we fail to recognize that like, it's just such a natural human experience. And like, obviously we want to teach kids not to, you know, worry about what everyone else thinks about them all the time. But at the same point, like, we know that they do and that they will. And so I think it's that balance of like, how do you help young people like recognize that, like, how do you put them in a place where the people around them are saying positive and uplifting things to them? And you have a 2-year-old.
I do.
So we're jumping around a little bit here, but I'm going to jump right into I want to hear parenting philosophy a little bit. Boy or girl?
Girl.
Little girl. I got little Coco. Girls as well. Coco.
Yeah. Aww. She's 21 months, but 21? I'm rounding
yeah,
up right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. That's fair. To anyone who's like not a parent of small children, they're like, that's a 2-year-old. So tell me about the philosophy with Coco. How do you guys think about the right things that she needs?
Well, it's good. First, shout out to my wife, Michelle. It was our anniversary yesterday, but she is my better half. And as much as I live outside of the lines, she kind of lives inside the line. So I think it's like a really good, you know, yin and yang for us.
What you posted on your story last night, I've never met her. She just looks like a good time. Like she's just like, y'all were just like dancing in a bodega or something. I didn't know what was happening.
Humor
but she
is our
seems,
language.
Yes.
Yeah. Like to me, that
the
is
the amount
like
of fun you two are having.
Drive back to just being able to make each other laugh.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, Coco's amazing. And I can already tell that she's got a lot of me in her. And I have a very hot take. I just don't know where schooling is going to be by the time my daughter's 18 years old.
Yep.
I mean, I guess that's a hot take, but at the same time, like, yep.
Yeah, it's hot depending on who's listening, right, and the age they are.
Yeah. You know? Lukewarm take.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everyone's like, yeah,
like
no, that's
crazy. AARP is like, what?
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But otherwise, but so I'm very much just a big believer in like the reason why I believe I felt certain ways. I felt like I was lesser than sometimes in school is because school is judging you around very certain,
yeah,
very certain things. And I realized growing up that some of my greatest superpowers are the things that I didn't get a grade on.
Yep.
When I was younger. And so I'm constantly.
Zach's like, preach.
God damn, son.
Yeah.
Keep going. It's the gospel. Yeah. Hi, geese.
So like for Coco, I just want to make it so like she knows that like, and I don't necessarily believe in grades, but if you're going to get graded on everything else and that's like how you're the barometer that you're judging yourself on, I want to just make sure I'm constantly grading her on the things that I know she's really good at too.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And making it so the things she's really good at, she can become even better at.
Yeah.
Because I didn't become really good at the things I was good at until later in life because I didn't realize how important they were.
Same.
And so that's just something that I'm constantly thinking about.
That's hilarious. The qualitative pieces of you are, I mean, I was like, Kristen was like, oh, I have met Drew. But before that, I was like, one of my favorite people to talk to on earth, have never had a conversation without just laughing my ass off the entire time. Like, just so easy to engage with, just a fucking good time across the entire board.
Vice versa, brother.
But it's like, how do you put that in a grade? You know, but that matters so much in life.
Well, and that's kind of my point about like, setting values and like helping find people to surround your kids that reinforce the things that you value. And I think it's just like a really hard, I spent a lot of time growing up worrying about the things that I was not as great at.
Yeah.
Math is a bitch.
I mean,
if you're bad at math, it feels like impacts your life.
So we've said on the podcast before that like I was a math major, but I majored in math because it was the only subject that was hard for me. And I spent
Kristen's
a lot.
Kristen's a masochist.
Good for you.
I know. But she doesn't make sense most of the time.
Okay. But like, what if instead I had leaned into the things that I was actually exceptional at? And so, you know, I fought my way through like B minuses in college because math was hard for me. It was the only thing that was hard for me. Everything else, I got A's without even having to think about it. And so I was like, well, I need to get better at this. I need to be better at it. And there was this sort of like, I have to show that I can be good at this one thing that I'm not good at. And I mean, I guess you could say I did it, but I mean, like at what cost, right?
Well, I guess the question of that though is like, what if you were bad? What if you thought you were bad at a lot of things?
Yeah.
Like what do you think your major would have been? Like, what would you like?
Do you not go to college? How many kids like don't go to college because they think they're not school people, right?
Like, I'm supposed to have a coffee with a kid next week that has decided that he doesn't want to go to college until he knows what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's the most mature shit I've heard in my life. Man. Like, dude, you made it. Like, just figuring out. Like he's genius. Absolute genius.
Yeah.
But like, I think it's a huge lie. Like, I listen to all these autobiographies of founders. And I think one thing that they constantly lie about, like, I just want to call bullshit all the time, is like, oh, I knew I was going to be this when I was this age. I knew I was going to be this when I was that age. And I'm like, yo, like, if anyone asked me, yo, Drew, you're going to be a founder and you're going to run a venture capital fund in the fintech space when I was 11 years old, I would laugh.
You're like, I don't know what most of those words mean.
It would be outrageous. I'd be like, dude, no.
Fuck off. Yeah. Did you think you were going to business? Like generally, like when did you figure out that you wanted to business?
I was always very obsessed with business. I always told myself as a kid that I wanted to be rich.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because I grew up my family was by no means poor, but I got everything I needed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I got what I wanted to on the back end. I look back at it now and realize that my parents were always stretching for me because they just like loved me so much.
Yeah.
But when I went to private school, K through eighth, I went to private school in high school as well. I got exposure to what wealth looked like in a pretty big way.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the greatest pieces of growing up and also one of like the most challenging is just comparing yourself. Like at one point it was very inspiring because like, oh, this is possible.
Yeah.
The other side of it was, I don't have it.
Yeah.
And based on how you internalize that will very much kind of like shift how you just go about life. But
I'm glad it ended up as a chip on your shoulder, not a like something in your stomach or something.
No, but it's still there. But it's still yeah. there though.
The like insecurity.
I feel it. And like we know it's like we have all these flaws that we try so hard to hide. We tried so hard to make it so no one else can see it. But like when we're looking
in
the mirror
in public.
Night, yeah. When you're looking in the mirror,
subtraction is really tough.
It's a bitch.
Yeah. I've always been horrible at math, but I've always been really good at understanding business models.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's so many times where it took me a long time to realize that being a founder, building a business, your goal as a founder, really good founders are able to find people to bring in that can fill their gaps.
Yeah.
And so to make it so you can lift up your superpowers. So like some of the things that I've been really good at have been able to become superpowers that I can share with the world because I have other people around me that fill in the gaps that I just don't feel that good at.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing is to realize you're you're just not good at math. It's not that you're not like, you haven't practiced enough. It's just that I'm not good at it. Let me accept that.
Yeah.
And let's make sure that we can collide together and build something great. Yeah. But I didn't know I wanted to be in business until I was in it. And I had to work under a lot of people to see how they were. And there's a lot of times where I was sitting in a desk and being like, I could do this better than them.
That's what starts it all, right? I mean, that's Kristen Anderson in a sentence. Yeah.
I have the best managers and leaders in the world. Truly.
Like today?
Truly.
Yeah. In your current, but like, don't tell me that there hasn't been a time in your history pre-Cash App where you were not like, oh, what is happening above me?
Yeah. I mean, my story was very much the like, I saw a gap and filled it.
Yeah.
You were a public school kid, right? Or were you private school?
I was charter school. So
choice.
Magnet school from kindergarten through second grade. But that was a magnet school that taught French, Spanish, and English.
Cool.
None of them necessarily well. Third graders, second graders were bringing knives to school. One day a first grader brought a gun to school and we all had to leave. It was that kind of vibe. So then I went to a charter school in second through eighth. And that was the French immersion charter school.
You speak French?
Fuck, you know this.
No, I don't. I know you spent a lot of time in France, but I don't know.
There's no way that we are this close to friends and you did not know that.
Dude.
A 1,000,000% you knew that.
No. I know that you spend time in the French country and like shit on French people all the time. Yes. That's very different
but
than
speaking.
But
he did it speaking French.
I do it in French. That's the best part.
It's like I seriously did not know you spoke French.
I had an Uber driver that was French on the way here. We spoke French to each other the entire time.
I would say picture or it didn't happen, but like,
I mean,
say something in French.
Bonjour, ça va? Qu'est-ce qui se passe aujourd'hui?
Okay, we can all say bonjour, so that one doesn't count.
Okay, je peux dire quelque chose d'autre? Qu'est-ce que tu veux?
Do you understand it at all?
I don't.
You don't even. You
thanks,
don't even
mom.
Have the
like.
Yeah, thanks, mom. Thanks, Obama.
Could have been.
Yeah, no.
Could have been a whole podcast in French.
I know.
I've been speaking some version, second grade is where I actually started getting decent teachers because I pretty much had African teachers second grade through eighth grade. And I never had, like, I had 4 or 5 different math teachers every year. That was one of the reasons I was terrible at math.
Yeah,
but everything was in French. So when I got to high school, I had to go to remedial math because I only knew the French word, like subtraction. I had to learn that word.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think literally that one, but like, I had to understand
fractions,
yes,
and all
like
that sort of
just
stuff.
To translate algebraic terms. Tough. So
fascinating.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been speaking of it from a young age, and that's why I disagreed earlier on. Like, I think that it is the
that's
thing
your
that,
weird accent. Then
fuck off. What?
<I'm just kidding. laughs>
I think it's like a superpower actually because it the ability for your brain to function in two languages at a young age is. I think very, very. I think it's the thing that has made my brain have the ability to learn and continue to not be
I'm
dumb.
Jealous, man.
I started taking Spanish in second grade, like more like, you know, cat, dog, like vocabulary based, not like immersion based. But
Verbs. If you have a 6'5" African man screaming at you in French, you figure it out.
You learn.
You're like okay, he's mad. I don't know why. It was so fascinating because like all these Africans.
Were they teaching math in French to you guys?
Wow. Yeah.
I did not know this. I know more about your high school years, I think.
I was learning English from a French person. It was what? Like, it's amazing that I can speak the English language. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
If you speak enough, you fall in line.
Yeah.
You're good at practicing talking English. Yeah.
But I'm not like, I'm like a week or two in France and a couple drinks and I'm like fully fluent.
Oh, I love that.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
That
it takes
amazing.
Me a minute though. It yeah. takes me a minute. If I've when been out of it for like months.
When I lived in Argentina, I studied abroad there in college. And when I lived in Argentina, I felt there was like a 2-beer minimum for it to like really.
Yeah. I've never spoken to someone that speaks a different language that isn't like alcohol helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just like.
It just like loosens the tongue
yeah,
a little
and then
bit.
You're like, and you're like, bleh. Yeah. You know, you like throw out the accent a little bit. And the French.
You stop
like,
thinking. You yeah. stop thinking about it so yeah. much. You stop worrying about the perfection and yeah. you kind of get. And you probably are just as good as you are normally.
It's a self confidence.
But the self confidence is much
it's
higher.
The same way you can yeah. approach the woman across the bar. It's nothing's changed. That's you true. Just decided you're different in
yeah,
that moment.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you get in the flow, when you're like a couple drinks deep, are you thinking in French as well?
So my cousin, you would actually find this interesting. So my cousin is the head, like, well, head is a weird way to phrase it, but one of the main like NFL and NBA announcers in France. Oh. So he does all American sports, but he does it on Canal. No, I want to say Canal Plus. I think he's changed companies now. But anyways, he's like basically the ESPN of France. He's yeah. like one of those guys. What? The ESPN of France. Yeah.
I just picturing like the Ocho.
That's
like,
a really funny thought. Right. You're right. Right. It's just like three fat guys playing croquet.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They smoke play cigarettes on air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, this is my fourth of the day. I lived there for about a month
yeah.
in January, something like that. And by the end of that, I was pretty close to thinking in French, I think.
That's cool.
Yeah. But my vocabulary is just like nowhere near as wide at yeah. the end of the day. So I'm yeah. still like, it's a weird Fringlish thing happening in my head. Like once I get fully into it, like there's yeah. just some words that you just don't know as a result of stopping being embedded all the way in it at eighth grade.
Yeah. That's right. Cool.
So Drew, have you done a lot of travel in your life? Where are your go-to spots?
Yeah, so I kind of have. I mean, you know, I've
you're
been
a college athlete, so you're probably not doing study
a
abroad.
Lot of U.S. travel for sure.
And yeah, college.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Skipify. So, what is this magical Skipify, this connected wallet thing that they've built? Well, imagine purchasing a product as a consumer with a merchant you've never actually shopped with before, and your credit card's already saved with them. Sounds scary, but it's not. You've never added this merchant before. Your shipping address is already there. How did they know? You're not sure, but you hit buy and your product is on the way. That's Skipify in the background. Skipify goes beyond what other digital wallets or one-click checkout products are doing. They've built direct integrations within the banks you already bank with. That's where the connected piece of the connected wallet comes from. So that step of adding or saving cards in the connected wallet is totally skipped. Get it? Skipify. Skipify is pre-populating card info and shipping details from the banks for consumers. They can even embed features like card offers, paying with points, or buy now, pay later options directly into the moment of checkout. It's better for the banks than Apple Pay, better conversion for the merchants, and better consumer experience for the actual shopper. If you aren't working with Skipify yet, you probably should be. Or at the very least, go check them out. When did sports yeah. start? When did you start? And what were your main ones? I mean, obviously you played football in college.
I grew up playing a lot. I actually, when I was like 12, my dad asked me, he was like, choose a sport.
Fuck no, at 12?
He did. He did. I'm happy he did though. I'm really happy
Focus.
He did.
I look back on it
and like
this I have opinions about. The rest of it, I don't know.
At the time, and don't get me wrong, he wasn't like don't ever play another sport.
Right.
But he was just like, choose one that you like really want to lean into. He basically told me to choose a favorite.
Okay. That's fair.
From a cost perspective too, I also appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's another thing. The barrier of entry of like certain sports is insane. I grew up playing a lot of tennis and I was just like a huge like Pete Sampras fan. Like I was just like, nice. I want to be a tennis player.
I don't know who that is.
You don't.
Oh, he was like Andre Agassi equivalent. They would like battle it out a lot. Yeah.
Wow. You're like a couple years younger. I'm a couple years younger than you. Zach's a couple years younger than me. It's funny when you're like, is that enough of a difference?
Right. Pete Sampras turned into Roger Federer. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
I played a ton of tennis. Quickly realized how tough that sport was just to like play as a kid of like, you know, without an endless budget, like you're traveling everywhere. But I was playing basketball, I was playing soccer, and then I was playing football. And football was actually my least favorite when I was a kid because I had to go play Pop Warner, and that is contact football as like a 10, 11-year-old. And I'll tell you, like, inside Oakland, playing for the Oakland Dynamites, you were walking into some fucking culture shock.
That I don't know about the Oakland Dynamite, but I feel it.
You know, I was a tall kid, you know, I was gangly, but you walk on there and you just have like the best of the best athletes of your age. Yeah. You know, they are all from, you know, some pretty rough neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And I never forget it. The tryout was for 2 days straight. And because nobody was like going to buy pads for this tryout, we all rented them. And
oh God, I thought we were talking rugby first. I was like, oh God.
No.
Yeah. So throughout those 2 days, you get cut, and like every kid there just had their
midday,
their tidy whities on and their socks or in their cleats.
That's the saddest thing I've ever
mouthpiece,
heard.
Holy.
And that was it. Everything else was rented, and kids would literally strip down, give their stuff, and they'd be walking off crying with just their tidy whities on and like,
oh my,
and
that cleats. Feels like that's produced by Bravo.
And yeah. I legitimately, I was like, it was like, I was 10. I was like, I'm playing for my life. I was
oh
like,
my God,
I can't be that kid.
Oh my God. And, dude. At least you were wearing boxers, but geez.
It was a big growing up moment. I made the team. It was all good, but I played two seasons, and I just remember it being this experience of me just not wanting to go to every single practice. My dad was always, he was at work, and I'd tell my mom, I'm sick. And my mom would be, here's your dad. Your dad wants to talk to you. He's like, go to practice, get up, go to practice. And I'd go. So make a long story short here. I played 2 years, but I ultimately went to my school and just played flag football. I chose basketball when my dad asked me that question. And then once I got to high school, I started playing football. And one thing I realized in high school is like all these kids had never played contact sports before. And if you don't
you
know
were ready,
how
baby.
To be hit in the mouth and hit someone else in the mouth with pads on, you have a leg up. I mean, I went to that practice and I was a man amongst boys. You don't know how to deal with yourself when you get your bell rung.
What were you playing at that point? Receiver or what?
I played quarterback.
Oh, until you got to college?
Yeah, so no, I played 1 year of receiver, and every other year I played quarterback.
God,
so like, you're talking about Moraga, I got a full ride scholarship to St. Mary's College in Moraga when they sold their football program to play quarterback. And we talked about this in our last podcast, and ultimately, when they dropped the program, I decided to go walk on at Cal and earned a scholarship over time.
Yeah.
Which is like, one of my favorite things in the world is people that walk on and earn a scholarship, partially because I did that, but... but like it's real, like that is the scariest shit to like think, like this is either gonna cost me thousands of dollars or I'm gonna get paid.
Yes,
is the weirdest feeling to have hanging over you every day. And like I mean obsession
in a way. That is kind of what all college is for kids now. It's like you could be in debt for the rest of your life, or you could get the job that's gonna allow you to like be rich enough to pay for this.
Yeah. Did you think you were going to league in high school? Where was your head at?
No, I in high school, I was like, I just want to play at a really good college school.
Okay.
Once I got to college and I saw the athletes around me, I knew I was not going to make the NFL.
I mean, you were playing with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, like, I was playing with some monsters. Bonkers. I was playing with some monsters, but I realized.
Did you play with Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah, same year. He also grew up in Oakland.
Do you know who that is?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
but
that's crazy.
Yeah.
There's just
talk
some
about
people,
getting hit in the mouth.
Like, some people you play with where the second you like get on the field with them, you're like, I'm not that.
Yeah.
And a lot of like professional, once you get to college, you can get there to college on just hard work alone and like having the body type.
Yeah.
NFL, like professional sports, it's in your genes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that is the genealogy. Tier. Like you're.
Yeah.
You got to have something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your Achilles has to be able to repair itself over 2 months and a whole bunch of ayahuasca trips and 3 Joe Rogan podcasts.
All that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Come back and throw a touchdown.
Yeah. Okay. That's crazy.
Is it time for
frugality, or what are you thinking?
Are you frugal? Yeah.
Yeah. We got about 15, 20.
Frugality.
Okay. So,
frugality. What?
Welcome.
I was like, I'm unfamiliar with this term. Goodbye.
Welcome. Welcome to Are You Frugal? We like to get a sense of how frugal people are, especially people in fintech, right?
Yeah.
Because I think money influences so much of what we do in our work lives, but there's this element of like, how do you view money? How do you spend money? How do you value money? How does it like influence your thinking? Especially, and that's kind of why we start with history oftentimes, because it comes from when you're a kid. So the first question is maybe a little lighter than that, that whole thesis, which does matter. But tell me about a luxury item that you own that like is just just objectively too expensive, that you know is too expensive, but that like there's just something that you're just like, I don't care. This is a thing that I love. For mm-hmm. example, Alex Johnson told us about an axe
yep.
that he had that was like custom made in Scandinavia. And he like chops wood in Montana with it, and it's like ridiculously
expensive. Actually, I think that one's just up on the wall. I don't think
he doesn't even chop wood with it, right? But he just like loves it so much. So what's an item in your life that you're like, oh, I way overspent, or I will overspend on this thing because I just love it?
You know, it's less of one thing. It's more of a consistent spend. Uh-huh. Like
sneakers.
That's, yeah, Zach.
It's actually haircuts.
No shit.
I'll get a haircut like once a week.
I have never seen you not fresh as fuck. Yeah. So that's fair.
Yeah.
That's actually very fair.
And it's like, it's not in, I mean, you know, and also like, I'm not just getting a haircut.
See, now you need to watch.
I'm going somewhere.
You're not going
like,
to Supercuts?
I get whiskey. I get the hot towel. You know,
the shave.
Like a little face massage. Yeah. Like, it's all there.
It's a spa.
There.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the
And I'm like
spa.
Super mad all the time because I'm like, this should 100% be a business expense. Like, no.
I mean, dude, you were on Bloomberg yesterday. Why isn't it?
That's to be fair. That
that's a business.
Like
a,
I mean, there's a camera right there. Everything that's had that diet
anyone's
but
debating
it's
whether
bad.
Or not they should watch the YouTube version. I think you're talking about the the haircut experience. Means
yeah, it's, they're going to switch from Apple Podcasts over to YouTube right now and just be like, God damn.
Yeah, yeah, that is
if,
a nice
if I took my yearly spend on haircuts and put it into like one thing, it'd be a really nice thing. It'd be a really nice thing.
The maintenance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm jealous. That's like a black man. You just like, you know, the way my hair falls, like if I don't get a haircut, you're going to know. You're going to know.
Yeah, I can get away with months.
Like my wife's a hairstylist. She cuts a lot of Caucasian men's hair. So like, oh, they come in every 10 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and we just high and tight like, and they're seeing 10 weeks from then. I mean, you know, it's different.
Yeah. I don't think I've gotten my haircut in 6 months.
I think the whites have a distinct advantage when it comes to hair maintenance across the board.
Yeah, like, I think that's fair. Well, we could get into the societal pressures on some of that stuff too, which is maybe a little.
Oh, well, yeah, 100%. But like having grown up in a mostly black neighborhood and mostly black school, like weave pats were just part of my
youth. I can't just gel my shit up, man. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
I have like a fucking like Theo Von thing going on right now, but I don't know.
Theo's
in
right now.
You know? Exactly. Theo, he's a comedian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know who that
he's
is.
He's a southern comedian.
I'm
going to
go ahead and say our listeners probably don't either.
We'll take a poll.
Yeah.
Put it in the comments. Now you have to go to YouTube because there's no comments anywhere else.
Yeah.
Theo was on Road Rules years ago.
Oh,
that
God.
Was the that was
what
the original.
Yeah.
What is it when it's party in the back and
mullet?
A mullet.
He has a mullet.
Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm
you didn't
slowly
remember the word mullet?
It's been a morning. Somebody almost died on the basketball court. We're struggling.
That is true. We need to check in.
He's alive.
He's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I checked with Alex.
Well, we know okay.
That's important.
A lot. Okay.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He's
good.
Fine. Yeah.
Alive
yeah.
can be a lot of different states. Okay. Yeah. Haircuts. I like that.
Are there material items? I need a material item.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like when you first started making money, a purchase that you're like,
yeah.
Maybe you've sold already.
No, so it's bad. It's not bad. I guess it's not bad. I've always been very much like an experiential type of
purchaser.
That's
not bad.
See,
that's
that,
not, you're just an
so
elder
like,
millennial.
Yeah, there's been many times where I'm like,
oh, this is the difference between us and Zach too, because Zach has got he's into shit.
Don't get me wrong. I buy shoes.
Like
don't get me wrong.
Slightly materialistic.
Yeah,
yes,
a little bit.
There's some things that I buy, but like I'm someone that will like I'll just go to a really really luxury hotel.
Yeah.
For like and like two nights. Me and my wife will just like this.
Can you
this
stay
is
in
weekend.
Bad hotels? Like, does that function for you anymore?
Stylistically, no.
Yeah. Like, I will openly say I cannot. Like, as often as I travel, like, I can't do coach anymore. I can't do shitty hotels. Like,
you can't do coach.
I did
I
it. I flew Southwest.
I can do Comfort Plus. I'm a Delta
Comfort
guy.
Comfort Plus is like ideal.
Yeah.
What's your status on Delta? What are we talking?
Oh man, I used to be platinum. I'm gold.
I think I'm
gold
now
right
too.
Now too.
But I also have the Delta
COVID
Reserve card, which helps you leapfrog.
Wait, which color is that? The
I have Delta Reserve card. I also have the Delta Platinum card.
Oh damn!
And then I
what, is the Reserve the purple one?
Purple.
Okay, yeah. That's the one I have too. Yeah, yeah.
You can like if you have the cards, you'll leapfrog people.
Oh yeah,
significantly.
Yeah, I don't even pay for
unless you live
upgrades
in Atlanta
anymore. I just get upgraded.
Yeah, same.
It's fantastic.
Shit, I just don't travel enough. I have the Amazon one because I got little kids and I'm like, Amazon is free money.
You're optimizing
for
your life for sure.
That's
like,
right.
You had a portion of time where
I travel too much. I have to optimize for comfort.
Well, and you're flying across the country.
It's
like
true.
We talked about. That's far.
Anything over 3 hours, you know, you gotta get some
comfort. Experiences, nice hotels. That's kind of my luxury gig.
I mean,
too.
I bought a nice watch one time, but I always tell myself there's some really large purchases that I tell myself that I need to have so much money that this is a rounding error.
Yeah.
It's not a painful purchase.
Yeah.
See, and that's my problem. Like,
and I also keep it as an inspirational purchase, right? I don't have it yet. I'm working towards something.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's a watch is one of the few things that I'm not willing to stretch for, actually. Yeah. Like, I want a Panerai so bad, but like not doing it until I make, I don't know.
Yeah.
The 100K more than I'm making now or something. Well, I made that number up.
It's funny though. Like, you
got
know.
My Apple Watch on.
I mean.
You know though? I can like read Slack on the go.
Yeah. I cannot. I refuse. Like, I've thought about an Apple Watch. I will not switch from the Whoop because of the just, I can't have another screen on my wrist.
Yeah.
What I love with watches, to me, it's like really nice watches have the most fascinating marketing strategy because literally like Patek,
mm-hmm.
their marketing strategy is this is the watch you're going to pass down to your child.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
does that work?
Yes. All the luxury brands.
Dude, okay, that's like, why these are family heirlooms.
That's why you buy a Birkin bag.
I have children. No, I don't.
Well, that's why
they also market to men, by the way. Like, okay. Specifically.
Because sorry, mom and dad. I don't want any of the shit my parents have. And so I feel like I just like have a very.
Watches appreciate, though. Like, drug dealers legit buy watches to launder money.
Yeah.
Like,
anything. Okay, so anything be like, buy this money expensive with is a thing value. So that you can sell it to drug dealers in the future. Like, I don't
You're
know.
Connecting the dots way too hard.
I just like, don't. The family.
I give you one potential
like,
buyer.
Yeah, it's just he says one thing, and now it's just watches are for drug dealers.
I love my grandparents so much, but like my mom sent me a box of stuff for my grandparents after my grandmother passed, and I just was kind of like.
Pearls? What are we?
Like China and silver.
Oh, these are wins. If I didn't have my wife, I'd be a hoarder. 100%. I'm a collector at heart.
Oh,
like I still have all my baseball cards, all my basketball cards. That shit's worth a lot now.
So, okay.
I got a whole book of Jordan cards that my mom and everyone in my life has tried to throw away 100 times. I'm like, no. I sit on that thing and sometimes I just spend the afternoon if a couple meetings cancel and I just look at the value of my baseball card.
I don't understand this mentality.
I fucking love you. That is the most hilarious shit I've ever heard.
But you know what? You say that, but you also like line up your sneakers and like look at them in the same way.
I don't look at a dollar amount. I look at like for me, because of the way I grew up, sneakers are like an accomplishment. Like the one pair of shoes a year and then getting to a point where I like this morning traveling here I had to pick a pair of shoes. Every time I have to pick a pair of shoes, I'm like, made it, you know? Like, it doesn't take much, I don't think, with stuff like
that's
that.
That's how I feel about like nice meals though. That's my point, right? Is that like people, I just don't get it with stuff. Like, it just like it's just never been about
I won't buy all those shoes for myself, but now that I have a 2-year-old,
Coco's about to have some J's.
All my favorite Nikes, I'm like, on her feet. They're half the size. You know, we'll have another kid one day and I'll just pass them down. But I love that.
Is that, wow.
I feel like the ultimate flex is like your kids are wearing some, you know, off-white Nike, like that's the flex.
Kristen's
like, my kids are running around naked in the streets.
Pretty much. I mean, like, I want them to be comfortable, but like, you know, kids' shoes are so expensive. Your little one's probably still on the newer side of walking, but give her another year and they just like destroy shoes. And it's like the cheap ones are like $40 and they just destroy them. And I'm just like, I cannot spend $100 on toddler shoes. I can't.
I get both sides.
I understand why you can't, but I can't. I totally
and it's not
do.
An economic and thing.
My wife is the one telling me like stop.
We could afford it.
Purchase.
I choose nice lighting. That was my big one. Right. We have fucking dope lighting in my house.
Also,
it's
your place in Boston is awesome.
Oh yeah.
Like speaking of like leaning in, like right now my apartment in Kansas City is really cool. I just moved to like the Stockyards basically. So I live literally in an old slaughterhouse. It's
cool.
Really fun, lofty, but like I haven't put it together at all.
Yeah.
So it's just like it looks like a man lives there. Like, yeah, not often.
There's like a folding chair and a mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
Gross.
I've seen the pictures and like a video of your place.
Good bones.
Great bones. Yeah. Best bones. Oh, yeah. Best bones. We're going to put some meat on them eventually.
Yeah. That's like the mom side of me, is I'm getting more into stuff like to make our space feel good.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you both work from home.
Yeah.
My wife fills that gap there for me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. It's a little gendered. Okay. So tell me about food. Are you like a grocery family? Are you an eat out family?
Oh, yeah. The DoorDash question must come in.
Especially the little kid who's going to get picky soon.
DoorDash has become more popular, but I cook every meal in our house.
Wow.
Like when I leave for New York, I am meal prepping for my wife.
That's awesome.
It's
listen up, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's good. I'm gonna take some notes. Like, can we do a cooking class later? Dude. I've been thinking we should maybe at some point turn Are You Human into like an occasional cooking show.
Ooh,
like you and I make it. A really bad dish for someone.
I got a big kitchen.
Yeah, we'll do it in Boston.
It's an art to be able to cook and talk at the same time. Like,
I mean, have you seen?
That's fair.
Bert Kreischer does it.
Oh no, I'm saying when you can do it right, it's
you and stand-up comedy is just not. It's not the same. It's not landing, folks.
Who?
Is the machine?
Yeah.
One of the largest stand-up comedians in the world. He sells out like 40,000 person stadiums.
What's the name?
Bert Kreischer. Nada. Really, he's the only stand-up comedian I'm aware of that will do every single show with his shirt off.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy.
There you go.
Okay.
He just came out with a tequila drink as well.
Yeah, him and Tom Segura, which is...
Who? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. God. I'm just kidding. All right, we got to cook. We got to cook here. That's good.
Yeah.
What's your go-to? What's your go-to? Like, if you're just cooking something for yourself.
Honestly, what I'll typically ask my wife, I'm like, what part of the world do we want to be in?
Oh, my God. I'd marry you.
That's it.
I know. Christ. That was like.
That's it. That's the question.
That is nice.
It's getting people going.
Yeah.
But he's married, ladies.
I grew up watching a ton of Food Network. And I'd watch Food Network. And I'd go in the kitchen. I'd practice. And I would just flame out when I was a kid. Like,
God.
And time again. I'd literally be like throwing away food. If my parents knew I was doing this, they'd be so mad at me. But I'd be like, oh, this is nasty. Boom. Let's go again. Let's go again. Let's go again. So
how that's manifested in your life is awesome.
By the time, you know, you're able to just like go.
I like want to give your parents a hug. That's like so sweet.
Yeah.
It's like my daughter will like make up. She'll like put her applesauce on her Cheerios. And I'm like, what are you doing? But like, there's a future. There's a future there. Like,
she's experimenting. She's learning.
Me and my daughter, we do this thing called the perfect bite. Where like, we'll like get all these different ingredients. God. And we'll just like stack it on and be like, all right. Like,
this is the most adorable podcast we've ever done.
That is really
cute. We'll just do it. Yeah.
Cocoa.
We do it like so
I will
a couple
say,
times a week.
There's a good chance she's going to get pickier soon. She's kind of in that sweet spot still of eating everything. And I'm already seeing it. Little kid, like 1 year old.
They're like open and then not?
1 year olds will eat anything. It's like a biology thing where it's like they will put anything that you eat, they will eat. And
including
like,
non-foods.
Totally. I mean, it is truly like a development thing of just like they will eat everything. And like my 2.5 year old, she would eat any type of food, spicy, not spicy. And we were like, we're the best parents in the world.
And now she's like, chicken nuggets.
Oh, my girl won't touch meat. She will only eat pasta. She like chicken nuggets.
Did you show her a Netflix documentary? What happened?
No, her little sister, our 1 year old, will eat meat. Is like all about meat. She like demolishes chicken, and the 2.5 year old is like no. She like puts it in her mouth and like gags, and like I just God. So I hope you keep the like,
I have to carry Parmesan breadsticks in my pocket. She looks at me. She's like stick. she wants sticks. I give her Parmesan breadsticks when she's really acting up.
She's oh my God,
having dog treats, having dog treats in your pocket. Yeah.
These are like the long ones
here
too.
Go.
Yeah,
here you go.
Stick.
Okay. So okay, that's cute. But it sounds like you're like, would you consider yourself a frugal person?
No, I wouldn't consider myself an overspender. I feel like I'm right in the middle. I feel like I spend based on. Like I responsibly spend money based on how much income my household gets.
Yeah.
I don't think I overspend. I don't think I underspend.
What a reasonable and logical thing to say.
Yeah.
Boring.
but I will say it's frustrating.
Yeah.
Like living a life like that in the world we live in is very frustrating. Like, what do you want? The question, what do you want? More.
Yeah.
Like as much as I don't want to be the person that says that, like, yeah. That is in my head always
the
answer.
I want
more.
That is the
answer.
Okay, Instagram has started advertising to me that Ritz-Carlton now has yachts. And I'm like, oh
my God.
Dude.
I get the same thing.
What? Am I in a different income bracket? Why am
you
I not getting this?
In Kansas City. That is your...
I am landlocked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fair.
Everyone wants to be
like,
irresponsible.
Not like a yacht you own, but like a vacation experience.
Yeah. No,
like
I understand, but why am I not, yeah. why am I not
so,
getting
yeah,
served
I get,
these
I
ads?
Get
I'm
the...
upset.
I'll
I'm
send
jealous.
It to you. You'll look at it and you'll be in the funnel.
Okay, great. I just need to get retargeted.
I know.
Retarget me.
Yeah, I hear that. Okay, that's... I know. You're right that it's like being reasonable feels like you're withholding, even if you have so much.
That's it.
And that is just, that is a hard part of our...
Oh, one last thing. The thing I spend the most money on, my goddamn nanny, man. I have a nanny 3 days a week, and that is...
This is a trend. Yeah.
My family has a full-time employee.
Yeah.
That, which is kind of a dope statement, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an expensive statement.
If it was
but
your
it's a
choice.
Dope statement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
You should get a shirt that says that just so you know, you
that's true.
Wear it on your back a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it final question?
I think it's the moment.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. Do you want to ask the last question? Do you?
One of my favorite parts about this is that I don't have to do everything. So you go.
Okay,
this is, I just love having you here.
Zach has been recording a lot. I have not. So our last question for you is, what is it all about?
What is it all about? It's a good question because I can take it anywhere. It's all about family first. Secondly, it's about leaving impact on the world. I don't think that necessarily comes back to like my name living forever, but just like, this is so cheesy, but just like leaving the world better than you found it. And the more that I'm in my career, the more that I'm in this life, the more I realize, and I really feel it in New York when you walk around these streets, you're like, no one gives a shit about me.
Yeah, that is true.
Like, no one cares. I grew up in the Bay Area and like, I can literally walk down the street and be like, oh, I went to high school with that person. I know that person. But we are so small in this world. And like, there is one thing that like, from a North Star perspective that I constantly obsess over, it's like, make it so I provide a really incredible life for my children, my daughter. Make it so me and my wife stay madly in love forever. And make it so, from a professional perspective, that I'm making a really positive impact. And I personally believe that like fintech, from a generational wealth standpoint, from a literacy standpoint, from a savings and earnings standpoint, that's where it's most possible.
I love that.
I love it.
I have one final that we might cut just because I realized I wanted to ask it earlier. Yeah. As an Oakland native, have you ever ghost ridden the whip?
No, but I've witnessed it.
You have?
Many times.
That's
some because I was looking for it.
Yeah.
Others because it found me.
Did you grow up as a Mac Dre fan and just like generally like Bay oriented hip hop at all?
Yes. I didn't realize how iconic it would be though.
No
until
shit.
Years later.
Well, getting
when
shot
I was
helps.
In it, I was like, this is special. Something really special is going on here. But looking back on it now, I was like, man. That was a time.
There was a fizz generation, my friend.
Like,
I was gonna say, like, we've just cut out the Gen Z kids who don't get that at all.
I mean, if you grow up without the Thizzle Dance, you're not growing up.
I don't know, man.
That's my opinion.
You let Abercrombie and Fitch get a couple more seasons in, they'll be t-shirts and sweatshirts with that fizz face on it.
It's all cyclical.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all cyclical.
It'll be in vogue in the next 5 years. People will be like, yeah.
Interesting.
Beautiful. All right, we'll end there now that we had a beautiful heartfelt moment followed by ghost riding the whip.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Our Gen Xers are also like, eh?
Yeah.
Just a lot of Googling happening.
Read the show notes.
Yeah. Drew, thank you, my friend.
Thanks
Kristen.
For having me. This is awesome. Thank you.
Love you guys.
See you guys later.
We'll do it again soon.
Boom.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you're still listening, you're probably reaching for your phone to pick your next podcast or switch to music or just call it a day because you can't believe how much valuable information you just took in. But before you pick that next thing, don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, and all that jazz. Generally, scream from the rafters about how much you love FinTech Family Hour. Thank you again to our sponsor, FS Vector. And until next time, stay healthy, keep your head high, your costs low, and I love you all.